Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judith Nathans.
And today is June 23rd, 2020.
Tuesday. Yeah.
And we're rocking along here.
We are
on the political front. I think our intrepid city councilors are going to be having one more regular meeting next week.
Oh, just one more? And then they're going to go to full...
And then they go in for the summer break, and then they'll be back in late July. Yes.
Because that's the schedule, right?
But they are now actually scheduling committee hearings.
They have a lot of them.
There's Human Services and Veterans. It has one. There's two
ordinance.
For ordinance.
There's like all of these things for
ordinance. There's the housing one, and then there's the bike plan one. I think there's also one from Zondervan on like public safety about use of police force. So those are the four that are scheduled. Relatively rapid succession.
So will they be Zoom meetings still?
Yeah, everything's still Zoom better or worse. And it's an interesting question. You can say you might meet the minimum legal standard in terms of access and public comment and whatever, but when you put in the fact that it has to be done only in Zoom, it does very much change sort of the nature of public input. One way or another, it definitely changes it. That's fair to say.
So, right. Yeah. But
so anyway, that's what's happening there. But I thought maybe one thing we could do is sort of step a little bit outside of the politics momentarily and just talk a little bit about what's happening around town.
Yeah. Visually. I like
right.
that. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do here is switch off here to a little bit of some scenery that's happening around town. All right. So yesterday, I think a lot of people know about this, but since so many people are kind of holed up indoors, they may not actually know about some of what's going on.
They can't be indoors anymore. Are you kidding me? It's been 3.5 months.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that even when people go out, they have like new routines, which may not.
Okay, you're right. So they haven't been down. I have not been down at this. This is now the old Leechmere station.
This is a little bit of a longer shot going toward the river. Over by Leechmere Station, looking down toward where it's actually coming over the Charles River. So this is what you see here is the viaduct. And it's down around where the road to Prison Point was, where it is. So they're in the process of both knocking down the new, the old structure, but also putting in the new structure for the Green Line extension, which will be following a bit of a different route. By the way, there's a phrase I have up at the top there. It says, I'll just explain it, that cryptic, what time is this station? That is a very cryptic phrase.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Probably almost nobody knows what it refers to, so I'll tell you.
Yeah.
When they took down the orange line, the elevated ones that used to go down through to Forest Hill Station, there was at Dudley Station, right, where they used to have that elaborate loop up on top of the station. So the people are saying, well, where's the new service? What's going on? What about us? And somebody had put in like on two signs on either side of the main entry to the Dudley building. It just said, what time is this station? And I remember driving by going, well, that's kind of like poetry, And
I haven't been to that station in gosh knows how many.
Well, everything's changed in Dudley now. True. It's actually not even called Dudley anymore.
It's Nubian Square.
Nubian Square now. Yeah. But anyway, that's what time is the station? Because now here you go tearing down the old Green Line viaduct.
Leechmere, right?
Yeah, at Leechmere. Which Al Vellucci, by the way, used to call. Yeah. Used to insist that it's supposed to be pronounced Leechmere. Well, maybe it is, but the way language works is if everybody pronounces something one way, I guess for a lot of people, that's what it is. So I insist on saying Gerrymander because Gary, it was his name. But a lot of people will absolutely insist on saying Gerrymander, even though it's ridiculous. And if you look it up in a dictionary, people say that's perfectly fine. So this is sort of looking back, and you can still see the actual viaduct, and presumably the new structure will patch into the old here.
They'll keep that
more or less. Yeah. Now you can see here. This is looking, if you kind of parallel to where the Vellucci Fountain is at Leechmere Canal.
Okay.
Yeah, the fountain, all right, you know, across from the food court. So this is there was still one remnant of the structure.
Right. Look at that. Yeah.
That's all that's left now of the structure. You know, sort of looking northward across McGrath O'Brien Highway.
Robert, I mean, now that I see this, did you ever photograph the Big Dig when that came? I mean, it was similar, right? They took down a thing that was...
You know, I have some things, you know, and I certainly have photos when they first opened the Zakim Bridge.
Tunnel, right? And they made
I have a lot of photos of the old the old highway bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
The high bridge, as they called it, and as well as when they were the when the new bridge was under construction, right? Yeah. The Zakim Bridge, you know, right. And Barry, I have a lot of photos of that I took for sure. I love watching stuff get built. And here you can see the new green line.
All right, now what town are we in now, right now?
This is right here in the foreground, what you would have seen, this is where the viaduct was until a week ago.
Oh my goodness.
And this was where you kind of came through from over around North Point over to get over onto Cambridge.
All right, so Leechmere is over there. Okay. Oh,
Leechmere is right off to the left out of the image.
Yeah,
but
the
thing is, meanwhile,
the
new structure for the Green Line extension, which is going to go through what's now called Cambridge Crossing, that's all sort of ready to roll.
You know,
right in there.
So the Green Line is going to be elevated
just for this section here, and then it'll be actually in a cut for a lot of the pieces as it goes through summer.
Right, because it's great.
So this is it's like you wouldn't even know where you were.
Oh my goodness!
But what you're really seeing here is the foot of Cambridge Street where you used to sort of come across.
Tunnel that you went under? Is that gone?
It's still there. It's still there. It's up around where that bus is.
Yesterday. You walk under that to get onto the.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but it's amazing. It's like everything's out in open daylight now. It's something brand new.
So wait, I'm going to ask a stupid question.
It's looking across here.
So is there going to be a stop there for Leechmere?
It'll be on the other side. It'll be north of the highway now. Yeah, as opposed to on the south side of the highway, because it no longer will the viaduct come across. McGrath Bryant. It'll be over there. So, so you see, in fact, it'll be not right here, but it'll be, I forget exactly where the location is, but you know, it'll basically be, you know, between some buildings and things. It's just, this kind of weaves its way through buildings now. Right. And then you can see here, this is where the ramp, where the tracks came down into the turnaround at Leechmere. Right. In fact, this is you can still see vestiges of the old. This is the where the buses would pull up right here, or you drop people off, and then you could pick up the trolleys on the other side. This is looking through where the trolley turnaround used to be. There's still some remnants of the tracks, but they've, for the most part, they've all been torn up.
I'm trying to think of the last time I was on that. I think it was
I was there over the last year once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, and then this is actually looking here at the, you know, back at the yard, sort of where the tracks were, right? Mm-hmm. This is the platform here in the foreground, but there's really nothing left of it. The bus station, the sheltered bus station
with
the 69
there.
Bus, that's still there. It looks like an old barn.
The buses are still running, right?
I mean, and I'm sure it's sooner or later they'll have to change that structure as well.
Right.
But it's you know, it's actually pretty fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes, you know, when we're all kind of sequestered because of COVID, you know, you sort of somehow don't believe that there's progress being made on these areas.
Yeah, I mean, I've been walking since March, so all these people that have been sequestered, I don't know, I'm sorry. I mean, and I'm of the age when I'm supposed to be sheltering in place, maybe. But anyway, I have seen changes here and there, but not. Yeah. I have not gone that far. I've gone to Kendall.
Usually my route is a different route when I go walking.
Yeah, I usually go towards like Harvard Business, you know. Up
we actually went down this way primarily because we saw smoke and helicopters, and we thought there was a fire. Turned out it was over in Boston somewhere. And by the time we got down there, it was pretty, there wasn't much left of it, but there was something going on down there. But it gave us a good excuse to go down around Leechmere Canal and you know, check out places I haven't been to in a while. Which is
did you do this when it was really hot? I heard it was really hot this
week. I did it in the middle of yesterday afternoon. Yeah.
What are you nuts?
Well, it was a way of avoiding coming back for the city council meeting. So I just got a crop on that on the video a little bit after the fact.
All right. Yeah.
Anyway, actually, speaking of some of this council actions, and I might actually switch back in a second about that. You know, for a while all the talk was about shutting down Memorial Drive as if that was going to be the be all end all of things.
Yeah.
And it was just done as a 2-week pilot. Now it's been sort of made open ended for the whole
Saturday.
Season.
Now it's Saturday.
And now it'll be Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah.
I can see that.
I think it's fine.
During the week, no.
I mean, to me, as long as you can demonstrate that whatever traffic there is, and apparently there is increasing traffic now that some things are opening up again.
Definitely, yeah.
That you're not basically just dumping all the traffic onto a few helpless streets.
But I think weekend you're going to have less people coming in from the suburbs going to their work or whatever than you would during the week. I think it's a bad idea to close it.
I don't think I'm sure some of the advocates are kind of want to do.
But maybe I'm misunderstanding. Do they mean just close all of Memorial Drive on the weekends? Because even that.
I think it's the Riverbend Park stretch, the traditional pieces that have been.
No, I mean, but what's proposed when you hear like Patty Nolan saying, Memorial Drive?
No, it's not all of Memorial Drive.
No, but she says end to end.
You know, these are the wacky advocates. You know, the thing is that they're not going to be happy until basically all cars are banned. So, I kind of liken it to sort of a military campaign. It's like you have to establish the beachhead,
and then you
put your armaments there, you build forts, and then you hold the ground so that, let's all hope that all of this disruption from the virus eventually winds its way down and we can return to a better state of normalcy. But improved things to be sure. What I suspect is even if some of these modifications of roads or part-time or full-time closures are meant to basically just to provide accommodation during the coronavirus.
No, this is permanent.
I think the thing is that a lot of these things are announced not as permanent things, but I think they're going to be very hard to pull back because
I think it's a permanent.
The beachhead has been established.
But these other cities, they're establishing it as a. Well, that's interesting. I have to find out more about that. It's temporary.
I mean, for example, if we could, we have sustained Riverbend Park and the closure of Memorial Drive for decades. So certainly there shouldn't be any problem about doing that.
Now, adding Saturday, I think, is a great idea.
Saturday and Sunday, I imagine that could work, you know?
Yeah,
it's hard to say, really.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll just have to see. Now, what'll be a little bit more interesting is the question of the shared street or slow
that's
street
gonna work.
Operation
I live, right near Magazine, so I'm going to be curious about that. It's as I've said when I email to give responses, that's a street I will avoid because I have had no problem with social distancing, but I'm not going to share it with bikes and walkers and strollers and cars and delivery trucks and you name it. I don't need to. I have plenty of open space.
For a good long while, I've felt that a shared street or a slow street model is actually a good way to handle.
Oh yeah, you should not
bicycle
have
accommodation.
Right.
And I even wrote one of my little snarky comments to the council meeting the other day that even when they put that two-way bike lane on Brattle Street. To me, the better solution would have been to make that entire segment of Brattle Street just a slow street, open to vehicles, bicycles, with like a really radically slow.
Well, they get a lot of businesses there,
Right, but the thing is that it would be a lot more logical and consistent if it was just done as a slow street. So maybe if this gets established and people sort of learn the rules about how you're supposed to operate a vehicle on a slow street, then maybe they can revisit how they handle.
But who do people expect? I guess traffic enforcement will have to enforce the speed. We'll have to have monitoring of this. Who's going to monitor this?
Well, I mean, the enforcement of speed limits is still in the Cambridge Police Department if they exist in the air.
But I mean, traffic enforcement is a big part of a lot of people work in traffic.
Well, the traffic department, they will enforce parking, but they do parking.
They don't do speed?
No. That's the police officers are the ones that will pull you over for speeding. Nobody from the traffic department.
Yeah, but the ones on motorcycles going on the streets.
Those are policemen. Yeah.
On motorcycles? I thought they're the traffic enforcement. There's 86 of them. Well, what are they doing? 86 of them.
Traffic enforcement is a division within the police department.
I know, but I'm just saying there's a number of them. So they're all giving tickets to bicyclists? I don't think so. I don't know.
I think they may give warnings, slap on the wrist type stuff.
It's not a bad thing to learn about what exactly the police do. I mean, they do many things. I think we're.
Oh, I agree.
Some of them are very important. And it's just that I was a little surprised.
But anyways, it'll be interesting to see if people actually acclimate to the concept of a slow street, which I hope they do, because I think there are a lot of other places where that could work pretty well.
Right.
A lot of sort of minor streets that could be little neighborhood streets that you really do discourage things. Yeah. But the truth is that if there is a certain volume of traffic that insists on passing through a city, the more restrictions you put on some roads, it means it's conservation of traffic. You know, the thing is that it doesn't necessarily disappear.
Well, people use this Waze app. You don't have a smartphone.
Right.
People use Waze and they go through all other ways and it's just.
Right. So what you'll see is a lot of movement onto other streets, alternate streets. Right. Now, maybe they can accommodate them. I mean, I think there are some who engage in a tremendous amount of wishful thinking and to think that, everybody will just somehow, the great revelation will occur and everybody will realize they don't want to use a motor vehicle. And some will choose not to, but I think, and then other people will say, oh boy, more room for me. I better get a car.
I know. Right? I don't want to run out of time. I want to talk about the Mabardi, the old Mabardi site, or is it still?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about that.
There was a hint during the budget hearings from Owen Reardon about the public works are going to actually swing some sort of deal for some alternate space just to relieve some of the crowding.
Okay, so it was mentioned before, but not where.
But at the time they didn't want to reveal where.
Okay.
Yeah. So it turns out it was the old Mabardi site up on Mooney Street.
So they're out. Mabardi's not there anymore?
Apparently not. I think CJ Mabardi still operates out of Waltham.
I see.
But it's mainly a trucking company. I don't know that they're operating their waste transfer division anymore.
But you had an interesting history of that.
There is an interesting history. Yeah. So I got a kick out of the fact that Public Works is actually occupied with some of the
landscaping and some of their trucks. And stuff.
Yeah, well, just for some of it.
The quadrangle is supposed to be for light industrial. And a lot of us talk about this,
certainly a consistent use. But this is a little piece of history about this, which is back when I first took it in. I mean, I had an interest in recycling because I used to, when I taught originally at Wells College, I used to use the recycling center kind of illicitly all the time. And I said, why don't we get this? And, they had a drop-off center there. Then one fine April in 1989, there was something in the Cambridge Chronicle saying that there were people getting together to talk about maybe being together for a volunteer recycling program, an interim recycling program. And, so I went to the meeting, so I was one of the first there and we talked about it and planned it all. And then by June, we were doing a recycling. But why were they so hot to trot to do recycling at that moment? And the answer is that the state had developed this solid waste master plan that was going to have, I believe it was 13 materials recovery facilities scattered all around Massachusetts.
I didn't realize it was supposed to be 13.
Wow. And then one of them was going to be in West Cambridge at the Mabardi site. And we said, well, if we're going to have that in Cambridge, hosted in Cambridge, and it's going to be trucking going through there, we have to start getting people warmed up to this idea of having recycling again. So let's start this interim volunteer
ripping. That how it started?
That's how it started. It was because there was going to be that transfer.
I thought you started.
No. They were a very small handful of us who were at the start. But the thing is, it was because of the Marty site. And
Danny Park was still a landfill then?
Danny Park was capped. It was not a park yet. It looked like a moonscape up there. Yeah.
Right.
So we set up two facilities. Originally, one was down on East Street in North Point when it was barren wasteland. That was then moved to a public works yard. And then we did another one at the salt storage shed up St. Peter's, next to St. Peter's Field.
Right.
So we ran those, but it was done specifically because of the, we were expecting, we're going to do this for a little while, get everybody warmed up, and then we're going to have a regular recycling program. But nobody was talking about curbside.
Who started curbside pickup? Was it a summer?
Well, we did a letter writing campaign to get that going. But the thing is, it was going to happen anyway. So I don't think we can take credit for starting it so much. But we used to have these little cards that we distributed, and we had send these to your city councilors, insist on having a curbside program. And that's kind of why Cambridge actually got on stick and did it.
When did it start? 90? 91?
It first was put into effect in June of 1991.
Okay.
Yeah. But Somerville beat us to the punch in getting a volunteer recycling program. And it was actually Lisa Brucolaccio from Somerville who actually came and told us how to do it. And
then did they go as far as we did with having a recycling corner, director?
It was started a little bit differently. It actually began as an initiative within their conservation commission, which
with
was
a lot of towns. That's what it is. Arlington, it was always a volunteer thing.
Yeah.
We were very lucky that we had.
Yeah. Did it directly with Public Works Department and the city manager's office. We worked very closely with the manager's office, which is the reason why to this day I still have a kind of loyalty to all the people.
Lisa was one of her first gigs.
She came on as as sort of an assistant to the city manager, and we worked very closely with her, and the person who preceded her in that role. And it was kind of interesting that when she rose to become public works commissioner for a period of time before she came.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Is that when she really pushed the recycling? When she became
We worked with her back in 1991, long before she was public works commissioner.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we all have this long history. That's why Lisa Peterson, Richie Rossi, and I, we all sort of knew each other from
the recycling days.
Together in those days. Yeah.
So we have curbside compost. I don't think Somerville has that, because I know we're always.
I don't know if they have that yet.
Everyone has done stuff, and we haven't done it yet.
Of course, we're not actually. I don't know when they're going to start recollecting that. Maybe soon. I know that the.
You can take it. No, wait. You can take it now.
You
to
can
the
take
toters.
It to the. To
I
the
did.
Toters.
I took eight bags that I've been had in my refrigerator.
I know they're starting to reignite the staffing levels.
Now you still have, it's 24/7 too. So you can go to the side of the, it's open
but
all the time.
But the curbside collection may at some point, I don't know when, nothing's been announced. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
By the way, just speaking of the closure of streets. So one of the things that has been announced over this past week or so is some details about how they're going to accommodate some outdoor restaurant seating business community.
Expanding the sidewalks or taking away? I don't know how they're doing it.
So that's primarily for Central Square, Inman Square, and Harvard Square. And it's not the whole of the square, although there is a push. I think they want to close down Central Square.
Yeah, didn't
one day per
Councilor
week.
Simmons have an order about Sundays having Central Square no cars?
Right. So
that would make sense.
All right, so we're going to close down Memorial Drive. We're going to close down Central Square.
No, but wait a minute. What did Michael Monstein used to have in University Park? Remember on Sundays they had the big
right.
Games?
So now they could
just
have
it just in the, maybe from cross,
it's a, it's usually been a kind of a big deal to actually close down all of Central Square.
You're right. If Memorial Drive is going to be closed, and then
it's a state numbered road too. Yeah. And there are MBTA buses that are
that's a good point.
There are ways of accommodating it, and I think they'll work something out. But it'd be nice if it actually, at least for the summer months, We could actually have one day where Central Square just goes wide open. But even on other days, they are going to expand the sidewalk out into the street.
Really?
Going to still be able to maintain at least one lane of traffic each way, of course.
Well, there's buses go all the time along
and,
there. So
and a lot of cars as well. They're going to find a way, but it'll primarily be between like Norfolk down to, basically, the south southeast portion around here, between Brookline and Norfolk Street area.
All right. Oh, that's my hood.
So that's going to happen. And in Inman Square, they're going to, bust
what's
out.
What's happening with that whole reconstruction? Is that on hold?
No, I think they've started back up again now and trying to do the road reconfigurations in Inman Square. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely happening. There are a bunch of road closures, like Church Street, portions of Brattle Street that'll happen.
River Street stuff is supposed to happen.
And I don't remember exactly the timeline for when the slow streets are going to be implemented, but I think this Thursday
This weekend.
Is it this weekend? So they're having some sort of a public meeting just.
Yeah, a webinar, Zoom meeting. I don't know what time, but you can check it out.
Yeah. So anyway, it's all sort of happening and it's kind of interesting. I don't, to me, the jury is still out just how well this is going to work.
Well, it's kind of like a pilot program, I guess you could say.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the restaurant closures, permanent closures being announced all over creation these days. And
I know
this is about surviving to next year for some of these operations. So I hope it really helps to do that.
Yeah.
We need it. We really do need it. And, so we'll see how it goes. So I think that's mainly the what people should really know about right around now. I mean, there are a few other things. The city council did pass the budget. There was all the controversy about the police department. They did sort of a token reduction. And
was that last night?
No, it was last week.
I thought it was last week. That's what I thought.
Yeah. But the thing is that they did take out some money from the, or they held back some money from the police department.
2.5, I know. But
I think that was very much a political act.
I know.
But the thing is that it was very interesting that they had actually left some positions in the police department vacant for much of this past year because there's now a graduating class of the police academy and 12 new police officers coming into Cambridge. A very interesting and diverse mix, I might add.
Very
so,
good. All right, we have like 10 seconds.
Not
left.
Even.
We're
going to
sign off.
10 seconds. So anyway.
We'll see you when we see you.
We'll see you again soon, one format or another, here on Cambridge Inside Out.
Good night. Bye.